again, Internet. I am Bartholomew Click.
And I'm Zachary Stoppel, the artist for Ramen Empire.
And Thieves Camp.
And Thieves Camp.
And we are here to talk about why the fuck we haven't updated Thieves Camp.
I guess, if I have to.
Do it. Excuse yourself.
So I've been working super hard, and we've been working on the script to...
Make it not suck.
Make it not suck. Really give the highest quality product. We want it to really feel like playing the game, not stories set in the world.
And if you... Yes, absolutely. And if you were paying attention to the first five comics for Thieves Camp, you probably noticed that the first two comics were really funny, and the last three comics were different. I don't think they were bad necessarily, but they had this incredibly different timbre, and it really shows that we were doing these emergency rewrites all the way up to the end. And that's absolutely true. My inner editor did not kill a rape joke in the third comic, and deleting it literally changed everything that had to follow, and these cascading edits really hurt the final product in a way I'm not super happy with, and we're making sure that doesn't happen again.
Indeed. Also, I'm taking another look at the visual aesthetic of the comic, really trying to capture what I want it to be rather than just whatever the hell comes out of my hand, because my hand is lazy and it won't look as good.
And we're also some technical difficulties that have definitely slowed us down. Zach had a Surface Pro that decided to die. Is that right?
Yeah, it had been on its way out for a while. I got it when it was new, and that was the current gen Surface. And it had treated me really well, but it was an old machine, and it had developed bugs about a year ago, and they started agitating a couple months ago, and then I could probably still get it to work, but it's a lot of work, and we replaced it with a Yanova, which comes with its own fantastic set of bugs, and took me about a week to get up and running properly, but now it's gorgeous. 19 inches for, what was it, $600?
Something like that.
Yeah, just gorgeous. And it's like triple the drawing surface for me, and I'm having so much fun with it.
And we're dirt poor. I didn't have $600. I went to the mafia.
Yeah, that's where you go for these things.
No, I went to my loving family, who will still break my legs if I don't repay them eventually, but...
Verily.
You know.
Specifically, the problem I've been having recently with the cover has been I put a lot of care into designing the characters for Thieves Cant, and I love the design for Ormond and Ronaldo, and those were the first designs I drew. They just came right out, and I love them. They're great, and I have a little spiel on each of them, why I love them. But I was never a big fan of Candor or Keeley. Yeah, the two female characters. There's a lot of baggage associated with visualizing female characters in a fantasy scape that can mostly be summarized in the idea that when you are designing a character, you tend to look at reference from a similar genre, setting, etc. And most of that tends to be very, very exploitative.
Oh, you know, just copy some Frank Frazetta's. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. They're just naked the whole time. Just naked.
Well, we actually had someone crawl up our ass about Candor being so sexualized. One of the very first comments we got on page two on Thieves Cant was someone saying, well, I really hope you cut down on the sexualization of these female characters. And then the comic right after that was supposed to be that rape joke.
Yeah. And it... For the best that we got rid of that.
Yeah, what was going to happen was the orc Keeley was going to drag Reynaldo off and chain him to the wall and have her way with him.
Yeah.
And then he was going to come back as a lich later in the series and...
But that comes with a lot of problems. Bringing a dead NPC back as an enemy is always weird. Killing NPCs in Session Zero is always super weird.
You mean PCs.
PCs, yes. Yeah. I do mean PCs.
But also, the DM wasn't a character in the scripts. The DM as a character came later. So rewriting that, the DM became a character while I was lettering because there was all this empty space. And it turned out that the DM was a really funny character.
Yes.
So that also helped us steer into rewrites.
I'm a big fan of the DM as a character because the DM is a player at the table. They're playing a very different game, but they're a player at the table.
Oh, we were talking about the sexualization of the women, though.
We definitely were talking about the sexualization. And when it comes to Keely, I have a fantastic design. I love the design. And I could go into why I love the design. But Candor, I'm still lost on because I don't know how to express the traits she has in a non-hyper-generic or hyper-sexualized way. She is the party caster. She's kind of posh. She's a tiefling. Tieflings tend to be very sexualized. Female casters tend to be... Female everything in a fantasy setting is very sexualized without much regard to their actual character. And I just don't know what to do with her outside of putting her in wizard robes, but that's so boring.
My favorite design for her has been the short stubby tail, and the idea that that cloak is hiding, that weird little conical cloak she's got, which I like, by the way.
Yeah.
That is hiding wings. That I love that idea.
Yes, with the tiefling variant from Volos.
But is it from Volos? I thought it was a Sword Coast thing.
No, that's from Volos.
Okay.
Yeah, guts to get me a hard copy of that. Volos looks good.
But, no, I think Candor looks fine right now. I really do.
Yeah, right now I have her in a musketeer coat, and it does the same thing that the great big coat she had before that sort of wobbled and didn't stay consistent through the comics did. And that it gives the sense of something like a wizard cloak, but the long legs underneath indicate some sexuality to her. I really should be drawing a tail under there.
You should. Like,
I
really.
I should. I keep forgetting, and I'm terrible, and I don't know why.
The short, stubby tail that the readers have never seen adds a lot to her character. It.
Did I do that on paper or digital?
I don't remember, man.
Hmm.
But there's a version of Candor that he draws occasionally as this kind of short, stubby dinosaur tail, and it works really well. I think it helps with the disbalance of her legs. And it does something interesting because, you know, legs are this hypersexualized part of the female form. But when there's this short, stubby dinosaur tail there, it really subverts that in, I think, a useful way. And I'd love to see you keep the little short dinosaur tail.
Yeah. I'm also really torn on Candor in a variety of ways because we've established that she's an anime fan. And as a caster in an anime universe, she is required to have a low dex. But dex is super important for casters in D&D, man. You got to have some AC.
I've already made her character sheet. I think her dex is 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've already made a lot of the character. We've already made all the character sheets at least once. And I'm not sold on Ormond either. Or Ronaldo. Ormond is good. I'm not sold on...
Isn't there a rule variant where the lowest stat is 6, and then you can take up to an 18 for 5e?
With a point buy, I'm pretty sure you can pull that off. I don't normally. I typically just do the standard array.
I think the lowest in point buy is 8, because it's 15, 15, 15, 8, 8, 8. But there's a non-point buy system that was released in Unearthed Arcana.
In the Unearthed Arcana, they listed a option for just block stats based on point buy, and one of them was an 18 high and a 6 low.
Yeah, let's do that for her. Her 18 is charisma, and her... her 6 is dex.
So she's just walking out the door with a 20 charisma?
Yeah, why not?
Well, yeah.
And then she runs into that min-maxing problem where she finds, like, an item that makes her charisma go to 20. And she's like, well, this is fucking worthless.
Yep.
And also, you've done that to me. You rolled out a character whose effective int or something was 20, and...
I've done that to you a couple times.
Fucker. Okay, I think we have covered our bases on why our product is perpetually not finished.
Ooh, it's almost finished, though.
Yes.
In the most recent delay, and the reason I started talking about character designs was the goblins. I spent all this time on the character designs and never designed a single monster for the world. I don't know what any of the monsters look like. And so I spent a lot of time playing with different monster shapes and how they interact, how human they are, how monstrous they are. And I landed on a really cute, fun-looking gobo that that adheres very technically to the description in the monster manual. And I think that's important for the feeling like you're playing the game, because most of the time when you run into a goblin, you run into the generic stat block that is in the DM's or in the monster manual, and that's what it is. And sometimes they'll swap it out for a spear, you'll run into a goblin boss or something.
Yep, my favorite trick in a low level encounter, if the goblins are kicking a level one group's ass, the next time they meet goblins, instead of a dex weapon, the goblins have a strength weapon and they don't get their dex bonus.
Yeah.
It really cuts into the damage that a goblin can do.
Oh, yeah, because they go from instead of +2 to -1.
Right.
And I would typically give them a spear two-handed so they don't get the shield also. And that'll lower their AC and...
Yeah, it helps define, you know, these are stupid critters.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure that's a joke we're going to work into the... goblin encounters.
Oh, are we still having the goblin priest character?
I really want it to be a bard. I super, super want it to be a bard.
Well, I say priest, but I mean this quasi-villain that's following the party and not helping them, trademark.
I like the idea.
Because I'm down for it being a bard. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and I think Goblin Bard really opens things up, and I put a lot of work into this goblin design, and I really like it, and so I'd like to keep them around. You tend to see goblins a lot. Down. So,
and it's
maybe, but it's not written, so we don't know.
Well, would it be a PC or an NPC?
Oh, that would be an NPC. Absolutely an NPC. That would be a minor reoccurring quasi-villain.
Okay, so so we were talking about... in the secret podcast that's behind the paywall, we were talking about whether or not the DM will ever appear in the world. What if that's just the DM's avatar, then?
That'd get weird.
That's okay. It can be weird.
It can be weird. Well, it'd have to be a female goblin, then, and you don't see many female goblins in narrative. They mostly tend to be male.
Yeah.
It's reinforced by the idea that they don't tend to wear a lot of clothes, also.
Oh, have we been drawing naked goblins?
No. These goblins are fully clothed. They have a cute leather vest as their leather armor. They're carrying a janky saber. And they have a big, clunky wooden sword or shield.
Okay.
And parachute pants. Gotta love parachute. And shoes with buckles. Who doesn't love shoes with buckles?
Why do we have pilgrim goblins?
Because they look cool.
Are they going to Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, I'm down.
Yes. They needed some visual interest down there because I got rid of the stripy pants because, Jesus Christ, I'm not drawing stripy pants for every goblin.
We should draw a picture where the goblins are all in a classroom that's on fire. That's, I think, and try to put it in a unique looking perspective so that every desk is a different size.
Yeah, one of those nice 5-point perspectives.
Right. And each goblin should be different, like no copy paste. Oh, yeah. He's trying to, the reason we're designing a cover is because we want to submit this to real publishers.
Potential publication, yeah.
And Zach is a massive pessimist about
massive
publishing. And I am one of those writers that you've never heard of, but I have had some success in publishing. I've sold the movie rights to a short story. I regularly publish short fiction, not in big glamorous places, but in places that have paid me money. And Zach has never experienced that. So what I'm saying to Zach is Thieves' Cant is good. We could go to a publisher and potentially get an advance or royalties. And he's like, no, I never want to do that ever. There's it's no not one that I will don't help us.
Want people to pay me. It's just that outside of nepotism, I don't see getting published until we no longer need a publisher.
Have you ever heard of any of the books by Stephen King's kid?
No.
Yeah, nepotism isn't super a thing in traditional publishing. It definitely happens, but not on the scale you're thinking. And Stephen King's kid writes a lot. We have something that I think could get, I'm not promising, obviously, but we could definitely get picked up at a publisher with Thieves Can't. And if that happens, this cover design is a promise to these publishers that, hey, look at all this work we did. This is our design sensibility. We can do this on the regular. And comic book publishers, when I was going through the submission guidelines, they all wanted an example cover. So we're killing two birds with one stone. With the cover art, I'm going to redesign the website, ramenempire.com, so that it has a space for Thieves Can't on it, and that image will be the first thing there. But also, it's giving us a thing to submit to publishers in a package that says, hey, this is Thieves Can't, please love us, and give us money.
Now get to the thing I'm trying to get away with.
Oh,
that's what you're starting.
Yeah. And he's trying to get away with copying and pasting one of the goblins in the background because he doesn't want to draw. I guess you want like 50 goblins in the goddamn cover?
20 or so.
Whew. And he's trying to get away with copying and pasting them. And I understand why you would want to copy and paste the same 20 goblins over and over again. But at the same time, I don't think we've ever gotten away with that. Do you remember the comic where Todd first reveals he's a vampire? And he does, I have such sights to show you.
Oh, yeah. And I made a people on punji sticks brush and just swiped the background with it.
Yeah. And, you know, it expressed what you needed to express. But that was a... And it worked, I think, but it was a panel, and it was very obviously a copy-paste job. And a cover is supposed to be this signature piece. This is the world. This represents Thieves Can't. This represents us. This is the thing we're saying, hey, please publish us. And I really don't think you can get away with a copy-paste goblin. And Think about all the criticism, what's his name, got Control-Alt-Delete. Because for the longest time, he was dropping and dragging body parts for his characters onto the artboard.
Well, yeah, but that's because he didn't draw the comic anymore. He just rebuilt the comic from comics he'd drawn before.
I think that was a myth. I think he was adding new parts. I think he had their heads on an artboard. And, you know, I do that with the lettering. I keep, like, 20 or so bubbles in an artboard, but, you know, the goal of lettering is to keep out of the way. Like, you don't want to distract. You don't want visual interest on the letters. They just have to be readable. But I think we have exhausted our topic list.
I believe so.
And thank you all for listening. We hope to see you in a day or two when the cover is done.
Yes. It's almost done. I've designed the goblins. I've put in the rough shapes of the goblins. I have to ink them and then color, etc., and throw in a background, and that's all not going to take terribly long relative to redesigning Kander and Keeley and then designing goblins. I'm still not thrilled with Kander's design, but we have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, we have to go at this point. We just have to keep going. But you lovely folk on Reddit will see the cover art first, because I'm going to just throw it up there for you guys to look at. And then Patreon will also obviously get the cover art, because I suspect our Patreon traffic is completely coming from Reddit. So, but then It will take me a day or two to letter the cover, to come up with a design for the Thieves' Cant logo, and put that up there, and to credit it and make it look like a comic book cover. So that'll take a bit more time from me as well. But then once that is done, we're launching. We're not going to wait for me to finish the cover before we go into comic mode.
No.
And our goal, I think, this week is to get a page of Thieves' Cant done and a page of Ramen Empire done, yes?
Yeah, and that's a high goal, but I don't really have any other work. School's over.
Oh, you have, Lynn's home. You have that Ben commission.
I do have the Ben commission.
So we may get a page of Thieves' Cant up and not a page of Ramen Empire.
Ben only takes me like an hour. It'll be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in again. I'm actually going to say goodbye and sign off this time. Death to fascists?
Death to fascists.